Erev Tov. Hope everyone is safe, everyone is warm. Going to continue our limud of the siddur, of our davening, and tonight we're actually getting into the meat of Psukei Dezimra, although we know that the teal that we're going to learn about tonight is actually, according to Nusach Svard, not really part of Psukei Dezimra. We know that the tefillah of Hodu, in some siddurim you will find before Baruch Shamar, in Svardi Siddurim, Hasidish Siddurim, and Ashkenazi Siddurim, most Ashkenazi Siddurim, you will find Hodu after Baruch Shamar. To understand why, and I told you a little shtick my Zaydi used to do, who davened the Sechsvar, that when we were by him in the White Shul in Far Rockaway, my grandfather, Mr. Abe Fader, Olav Shalom, so he used to talk to us in the middle of Hodu, and when we would talk back, as our grandfather's talking to us, he'd give us a little patch, and he would say, "You're not allowed to talk during Hodu. You said Baruch Shamar already." I didn't say Baruch Shamar, because he davened the Sechsvar. So what's the difference? Why in some siddurim do you find Hodu before Baruch Shamar, and some siddurim you find it after Baruch Shamar? And it has to do with the origin of Hodu. The origin is that these tefillos, this song of Hodu, is in fact, it's mirrored by a couple of different prakim of Tehillim, but it's taken word for word. I mean, these are psukim directly from Divrei Hayamim Aleph Perek Tazayin. Psukim Ches through Lamed something. Tonight we're going to focus on Ches through Chaf Beis, the first half of the song. And these are Shirei David. This is definitely songs of David HaMelech. But why is it not after Baruch Shamar? Why is it not part of the Psukei Dezimra according to everyone? Because here the historical context is very important. We know that the Aron Kodesh, right, the Aron HaEdus, that had the luchos in it, that had the kapores that had the covering with the kruvim, with the angelic rubik figures facing each other, when Hashem and the Jewish people were in a good place with each other, that were back to back, when Hashem was being ignored by the Jewish people. So that Aron HaEdus, we know, was captured by the Plishtim when they ransacked the Mishkan at Shiloh. And after a number of months, more than half a year, the Plishtim realized that having the Aron in their midst was a disaster, literally and figuratively. Horrific diseases broke out amongst them wherever they had the Aron, and the Plishtim realized, you know what, we got to get rid of this. And so they sent it back to the Jews. We know, again, we're not learning Shmuel Beis here together, but we know the first time David tried to bring it up to Yerushalayim, unfortunately, tragedy struck, right? The famous story how it was on a cart with being pulled by oxen, and it started to shake, and someone went to try and hold up the Aron, and Rachman Olson, he died. So then they left it where it was, and then eventually David HaMelech learned the lesson, learned from his mistake. And then when they brought the Aron up to Yerushalayim, it was an incredible, incredible celebration. It's in fact a beautiful portrayal of David HaMelech, you know, giving his everything of dancing in front of Aron Hashem. His own wife, Michal, is a little embarrassed by how David's dancing. Like he was dancing, she felt like one of the Pchuseyam, one of the lightweights of the nation. How you were dancing with such abandon in front of the Aron. David said, "No, this is what you have to do. Simcha for Simchas Hashem." And so we know that once the Aron was brought up to Yerushalayim, even though it wasn't the Mishkan was not in Yerushalayim. The Mishkan at this time was in Givon. This was before Jerusalem was the center for sacrificial service, meaning the Kohanim were focused around Givon with the Mishkan. But nonetheless, David brought the Aron to Yerushalayim. And when it was in Yerushalayim, it was kept in a tent. But David HaMelech enacted that there were karbanos brought in the morning and in the afternoon in honor of the Aron, even though this wasn't the Mishkan and this wasn't the official karban tamid that we spoke about when we learned about karbanos, that one's brought in the morning, one's brought in the late afternoon. But that's what David enacted in Yerushalayim in honor of the Aron, that they would bring a special carbon in the morning and one in the late afternoon. And so there were songs that were sung when these carbonos were brought. The songs were Hodu. The two parts of Hodu, from Psukim Ches through Chaf Beis. That was what was sung in the morning. And then Chaf Gimel through Lamed Vav of the Erech around. So that was sung in the afternoon. So really, it makes sense to a certain degree why Minhag Sfard has Hodu before Baruch Shomer. Because really, what is it a part of? Hodu is the song that accompanied the Karbanos. So therefore, it makes sense that Hodu should be after we talk about the actual bringing of the Karbanos. That's what we finished after Ezu Mekom Manakei, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, that might be connected to the Birchas HaTorah. So that's an interesting question, why Rabbi Shmuel is in between. But the Mishnayos of Ezu Mekom in the fifth parak of Kachem, all about the different types of Karbanos and how they're offered up. So therefore, Hodu is before Baruch Shamar. It's really the song for the Karbanos, and that's where it is. But Minhag Ashkenaz disagrees. They say no, because ultimately when the Beis HaMikdash was built and the Karban Tamid was offered up, we didn't sing Hodu anymore. Hodu wasn't the song that they sung. Hodu was when the Arun was not in the Beis HaMikdash, when it was just in the tent in Yerushalayim, and this was a special song for that time that David HaMelech wrote. But it's not meant to be sung with the Karbanos. We know that we say at the end of davening, Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos, Yom Sheni B'Shabbos, those are the songs that they sung at the offering of the Karban Tamid. So therefore, Minhag Ashkenaz says, no. Hodu, when it was originally sung, it had what to do with Karbanos. It has nothing to do with Karbanos now. In fact, from the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, Perek Yud Beis, Isaiah the Navi, the prophet tells us that in fact, Hodu is the song that will be sung when Mashiach comes. That it's the greatest of praises. Zohar actually says that the song of Hodu includes in it all other songs. We know we talk about 10 great songs of Jewish history. The Zohar says that in Hodu is all the other songs that we sing. So that's why we say it as part of Psukei Dezimra, and it's the beginning of Psukei Dezimra. It's the very first thing that we sing. It's the very first Shirei David that we sing. Because Yeshayahu said this is going to be the song of Yemos HaMashiach. The Zohar says this is the song that has everything else. All other songs are included in the song of Hodu. So it's the most appropriate that as soon as we finish with the introduction of Baruch Shamar, focusing on the different meanings of the name of Hashem, trying to understand, right, to the minor degree that we can understand Hashem and how what we're praising Hashem about. So then the first praise that we sing is the song of David. And it's the greatest song of David. We know that many psukim and many phrases of Hodu are in fact found in different prakim of Tehillim. Kof Hei, Tzadi Vav, we find a number of the themes. But what I wanted to do tonight, and again, I apologize, I know the shiurim have been going a little bit long. I wanted to really, really try and cut back that it shouldn't be so long because this I want this to be practical. So the yesodos that we have, that we learn together, the ideas will be able to inspire us for this week, that we can really think about them. So again, we're just going to focus on the first, not even the first half of Hodu, the first quarter of Hodu is what we're going to focus on tonight to have some ideas. But just to the context of Hodu, the meaning of Hodu, the mystical interpretation of Hodu, of what it means, it's massive. And so that's why it makes so much sense that this is the first song that we sing as part of Psukei Dezimra. So it starts, Hodu Lashem Kiru Vishmo, Hodu Lashem, right away, Hodu Lashem. Hodu Lashem means give thanks to Hashem. Kiru Vishmo, and call out in his name. This is what David HaMelech is telling us, Hodiu Va'amin Alilosav, that amongst the nation we have to make known his greatness, right? Because don't forget, they're bringing up the Aron from where it was, actually near Beit Shemesh, bringing it up to Yerushalayim, but ultimately this is bringing it back from the Plishtim. So even the nations of the world, they know it was clear to the Plishtim not to mess with the Aron Hashem, the uniqueness of the Jewish people. So the very first praise of Hashem is Hodu Hashem, give thanks to Hashem, Hoda'a, gratitude, and Kirav Shmo, call out in Hashem's name, which we spoke about so often with Avram Avinu. To call out in Hashem's name means to recognize that everything happening in our life comes from Hashem. Hodu Hashem, kiru v'shmo, that when give thanks and call out when these things happen, and hodiu v'amim alulosav, that this isn't just for us, that we have to share this message with the whole world. Then a beautiful, beautiful pasuk. Again, these are all such beautiful psukim that Breslov made into a beautiful song. Shiru lo zamru lo sichu b'chol niflosav. This beautiful nigan. Shiru lo zamru lo sichu b'chol nifliyosav. Shiru lo zamru lo sichu b'chol nifliyosav. Shirulo means sing to him. Zamrulo, compose songs to him. Sichu, bechol niflosav. What is sicha? Sicha is to talk, to schmooze. Just talk, bechol niflosav, about all of the wonders of Hashem. Shirulo, remember we said this pshat, I don't remember how many shirim ago from Rav Schwab, that a shir means connection. Right, I think two shiurim ago we spoke about this, that a shir is a maybe even last year. I apologize. I'm sorry. Shirulo, shir means a connection. Zamrulo is to cut out everything else, right? To clear away everything else so you can focus on Hashem. And sichu b'chanaflosav. Once shirulo, once you sing Tashem to connect your soul Tashem. Zamrulo, you clear out everything else. Right, solely focused on Hashem, then sichel b'chanaflosav. Then even your regular discussions, your regular talk, will be about the wonders of Hashem. Right, you know, I think of often, and there's a story that gives me chizuk, if I'm nichshol in the sin of lashon hara at times, chas v'shalom, right, that we all have to do tshuva, we all have to be mechazik ourselves, that they say the Chafetz Chaim used to talk a lot. He was a very talkative person. And some say he used to speak a lot to show people that being makbid on the laws of Lashon Hara doesn't mean that you don't talk at all. No, you can talk. Just talk about the right things. Shiru lo, zamru lo, sichu b'chol nifliyosav. That we sing out Tashem, we joyously call out and sing and praise. And sichu, we're going to talk. Our regular sichu, our regular discussion should be about the wonders of Hashem. B'chol nifliyosav. Hisalu b'shem kadsho. Now here, the first part of the song, which was sung during the Karbatam, this Karban in the morning, that David HaMelech instituted to be brought near the Aron. So of course, Lahagid Baboker Chastecha, in the morning we speak about the kindness of Hashem and everything that we've experienced already. And that's really the first song. The song of the morning is going to be focused on what the Jewish people have already experienced and singing out and proclaiming it to the whole world, that the whole world can hear the song. This is why it makes sense that this will be the song of Mashiach. Right, this is the song that has all other songs in it. So Hisa'alu b'shem kadsho, that when you are praised, Hisa'alu, you should be praised, the Jewish people, you should be praised b'shem kadsho, with Hashem's name, meaning that the Shem Hashem nikra alecha, that Hashem's name is associated with the Jewish people. This is a source of great praise and pride for us. This is not something that we're embarrassed about. This is not something we're ashamed about. Yismach lev mevakshe Hashem, that those of joyous heart are those that seek out God. And this is such an important yesod. I mean, this is the yesod for life. And this is why this song, Mamash, has everything in it, that Yismach Lev Mevakshe Hashem. You know who's really going to be of joyous heart? The person who seeks out the Ribon Shalom. If a person who seeks out Tanuge Olam Hazeh, pleasures of this world, we know that there's just constant frustration. Because someone has 100, Shlomo Melech says wants 200, 200 wants 400. Chazal tell us no one dies. A person who's focused on physical desires, that person doesn't leave this world without half of his or her desires being fulfilled. There's so much that they don't. But when you're Mevakesh Hashem, when you seek out the Ribono Shel Olam, just the very process of seeking Hashem out brings tremendous tonic, brings tremendous joy. Because we know that in the Amelus, in the toil, there is connection to God. The very fact that we're trying connects us to the Ribono Shel Olam. Judaism in service of God is not about the end result. It's about the process. The process is the end. So this is why Yismach Lev Mevakshe Hashem, you find the person really of joyous heart, that's a person that has sought out God. That's a person who's seeking out God. That's supposed to be the focus. And then we say, Dirshu Hashem V'uzo, right? Dirshu Hashem v'uzo, also to seek out Hashem v'uzo and his strength. So Rav Schwab has a beautiful idea here. There, Dirshu Hashem v'uzo, the Rambam tells us, Dirshu Hashem means to daven. How are you really dorish Hashem? How do you seek out God? How do you try to reach God? You know how we try and reach God? We try and reach Hashem through davening. So Dirshu Hashem, call out to seek out Hashem, means to daven to Hashem, v'uzo. And we know that Chazal tell us, is a drush of Chazal, that Ein Oz El Torah, we talk about Hashem Oz L'Amo Yitain. Hashem has given strength to his nation. What's the strength that Hashem gave us? The fact that Jews are so strong? Yesh v'yesh, you know. Judah Maccabee, in the comic books, Judah Maccabee is full of muscles. I don't know that's really Judah Maccabee had so many muscles. But the Oz, the strength of a Jew, is Torah. That's what Ein Oz Ela Torah. So Dirshu Hashem, you know what it means to be Yismach Lei Mevakshi Hashem, to be of joyous heart when you're yearning to connect to God? That's Dirshu Hashem Vuzo. That is when we daven and when we learn Torah. Those are the ways that we become Mevakshi Hashem. And then it says, Bikshu Fan of Talmud. And that you should seek out Hashem's face all the time. And again, Yor Hashem Pan of Eilecha, the idea of Ha'aras Panim of the Ribbono Shel Olam, is never to ignore God. That we should always, as the Ramah tells us in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, that Hashem should be in front of us always. And if Hashem is always in front of us, that means we're always in front of Hashem. That's something Rav Pinkus speaks about in Sha'arim Betfila, in our Sha'arim Betfila WhatsApp group that I know. We didn't finish it. We have like a couple of prakim left. I have to get back to this. I'm just so focused on this part of Siddur. But Rav Pinkus points out that if you're focused on God, that means Hashem is focused on you, based on the Rambam or Nevuchim and many, many other sources. So when you're Mevakesh Hashem, when Dirshu Hashem V'uzo, when you're davening, when you're learning, you are being Bakshu Fan of Talmud. You're constantly, constantly seeking the face of God, and you're constantly in the presence of Hashem. Zichru Neflos of Asher Asa. Again, David is telling us when he brings the Aron up to Yushalayim, finally uncovering the Kedusha, the Or Shel Olam, the light of the world. David HaMelech says, remember the wonders that Hashem has done for us. Most of Mishtei Fiyu, the signs and the incredible incredible justice that came from his mouth, Zera Yisrael Avdo, that the descendants of Yisrael, his servant, Bnei Yaakov Bechirov, the children of Yaakov Bechirov, his chosen one, right? The Zera Yisrael and Bnei Yaakov. We spoke about that in the Parsha Shir not too long ago, the different meanings of Yisrael and Yaakov. Yisrael, ascendant. Yaakov is a sense of humility, that even when things are great, the Zera Yisrael Avdo, but even Bnei Yaakov Bechirov, even when times don't seem to be great for the Jewish people, we have to recognize, as Mel Brooks liked to say in History of the World Part 1, God, the chosen people, maybe choose someone else for some time, a couple of centuries, right? We don't believe that. B'nai Yaakov Bechirov, even when things aren't ascendant for the Jewish people, we're B'nai Yaakov Bechirov. We know that we're the chosen ones of Hashem for a unique mission, and we have to try and connect to that. Hu Hashem Elokeinu b'chol ha'aretz mishpatav. He is Hashem. Our God throughout all the land is his justice. And this is an important yisod, that even times, David HaMelech, that there were some peaks and valleys through Jewish history. Sefer Shoftim wasn't so simple. There were some very dark times. But we have to recognize B'chal Ha'aretz Mishpatav. Throughout all of the land is Hashem's justice. We maybe don't perceive it all the time, but understand less Asar D'Pani Minei Klal, as we say in... there's no place that is independent of God's existence. Hashem's din is everywhere. Hashem's justice is everywhere. David HaMel is telling us, Zichru la'olam briso, davar tziva le'elaftar. Remember forever, bris is covenant. What's the covenant of Hashem? The Torah Kedosha. Im lo bris yom v'leil chuka shemayim v'aretz lo samti. The bris that Hashem created with the Jewish people is, of course, through Torah Kedosha. At Har Sinai, that's really when we became the Bali Bris with Hashem. Hashem had a Bris with Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov, that which should carry through their descendants. But the Kiyum, the fulfillment of the Bris of the covenant with the Jewish people as a whole, that was at Har Sinai. So Zichru L'Am Briso, Davar Tzivah L'Elaftar. Davar Tzivah L'Elaftar, Rashi in Divrei Yamin points out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really meant to give Torah after 1,000 generations. He meant to give the Torah after the world existed already for 1,000 generations. But Hashem realized it's not going to work. The world isn't going to exist for 1,000 generations without Torah. So after 26 generations, after only 26 generations, Hashem gave us the Torah. There were 10 generations from Adam to Noah, another 10 from Noah to Avram, so that's 20, and then from Avram to his great-great-great-grandchildren who accepted the Torah, there were 6 generations. Asher Karas es Avram Ushvuasa liYitzchak, that covenant was the fulfillment of the covenant, as we just said, that he made with Avram and the oath that he gave to Yitzchak. V'yamdel Yaakov l'chok liYisrael b'ris olam, and he established it for Yaakov as an eternal commitment, and for the Jewish people it became the b'ris olam. Lemar, to say, what was part of that covenant? L'cha etin eretz Kenaan chevel nachlaschem. To you I will give the land of Canaan, Chevel Nachalaschem. Chevel is like a rope. That's how they would mark off boundaries. Chevel Nachalaschem, the borders of your inheritance. That this is what it is, and this is something that we read every day. Every day we have to remember that Eretz Yisrael is our Nachala. Eretz Yisrael is ours. We have to remember that. That's the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So Chusia Gein Aleinu used to say all the time about the first Rashi in the Torah, right? Koach Masav Higid Le'amo Losis Lam Nachlas Goyim. That the whole beginning story of Bereshis is to remind us, forget the nations of the world, that we have to remember that Hashem controls everything, and Hashem gave us Eretz Yisrael, and we shouldn't be shy about it. We shouldn't be ashamed about it. Eretz Yisrael is ours, despite what the whole world is attacking. It's crazy, you know, that I often heard from my father, I forgot who he heard it from, I think it was Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that every generation, the Jewish people have a unique Nisayon. There are many Nisayonis that we have, but there's a unique Nisayon in every generation. And how do we know what the Nisayon is? How do we know that with this specific challenge, what the nations of the world attack the most? And my father liked to say, this is how I grew up, my father would always say that, what are the nations of the world attacking more than anything else? And if this is what my father said in the 70s, in the 80s, in the 90s, early 90s, throughout the 90s, Alachas Kama V'Kama today, they attack Eretz Yisrael. Israel is attacked. And our rights to Israel are constantly being attacked. So this is something that every day, this is part of, again, David HaMelech's song. This is, the Zohar says, this will be this. This is the song that includes all songs. Yeshayahu Navi, Perek Yud Beis says, this is the song that will be sung when Mashiach comes. That this is a song that we have to remember. Lamer, the covenant with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov was to say, L'cha etein Eretz Kenan. To you I will give Eretz Kenan. Chevel Nachalaschem. I'm going to mark off your borders, your inheritance. Even though you were so few. And Kimat Vigarimba, very, very infrequently, we were living here. This is what David's saying. How long we were in Eretz Yisrael? Avram was there for some time. He came, then goes down to Egypt, then he comes back. Yitzchak stayed. Yaakov, he's by Lavan for so long. Then he dies in Egypt. Yaakov, this week's parasha, goes down to Egypt in Vayigash, and he's afraid. And Hashem has to appear to him at night, the last night he's in Israel. Hashem appears to Avram, to Yaakov, and says, "Don't worry, Yaakov. You're going to go down, but I'm going to bring you back. You're going to be buried here." And that seems to be the last time Yaakov has a vision from Hashem. Could be that's the last time that Hashem appears to Yaakov Avinu. The last night he's in Eretz Yisrael. And that we went from nation to nation, el am acher, and from one kingdom to another, meaning the travelings, the wanderings that Abraham, even Yitzchak had, Yaakov, certainly the travels, Yosef, the Shvatim, lohiniach le'ish le'ashkam, ve'yochach aleim melachim, that Hashem did not allow people to oppress them. Many midrashim say this is talking about Lavan, this is talking about Esav, the yochach aleim melachim, and Hashem admonished kings on their behalf. Obviously, Paro. Hashem admonished Paro with Avram. He admonished Paro with the Jewish people in Egypt. Paro was admonished, and also Avimelech. We know when he takes Sarah, when he wants to take Rivka, he has his eyes on Rivka. Hashem admonishes even kings. And what does Hashem say with this last pasuk? We'll end with, which is this is the end. This is the end of the first song. This is what was sung during the morning offering by the Aron. This was the song again. The entirety of the song was sung when they first brought the Aron in. When David HaMelech was dancing with reckless abandon, right in front of the Aron, and everyone was like taken by the sight of David HaMelech dancing like this. The Al tigu b'meshichai u'b'neviyai al tareyu. Don't touch my anointed ones and my prophets. Don't start up al tareyu. Don't do anything bad. So there are many midrashim what this is talking about. So I want to share just a couple of pshatim. The first pshat is the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Yates. The Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Yates says, "Al tigu b'meshichai. Don't touch my anointed ones, my distinguished ones. Elu tinoko shel beis rabban." These are the children who learn in yeshiva. These are the children, the school children, in learning the Aleph Beis, learning Chumash, learning Halacha, learning Mishnayos. U'b'nevi'ai al tareyu, don't do bad to my prophets. Those are Elu Talmidei Chachamim. That's what the Gemara in Shabbos tells us. That David HaMelech is saying here that this is what Hashem is saying. Al tigu b'meshichai, don't touch. And again, Hashem wants, this is such an important song for us to recognize. The primacy of Talmud Torah, this week's Parsha. I know it's not Parsha Shir, but this week's Parsha. What does Yaakov do? He sends Yehuda first to Goshen to establish a yeshiva. That without a yeshiva, without a makom Torah, Jews can't live. Jews can't live without a makom Torah. Right? So here, what David HaMelech is saying as he brings the Aron up to Yerushalayim, Kimitzion Teitze Soru Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim, David HaMelech is saying that who are the ones that are the untouchables, in a good way, the Mishichai, the Tinoko Shal Beis Rabban, and the Neviyai, prophets, the Talmidei Chachamim. Right? What does it mean that the Mashiach doesn't necessarily mean anointed with anything, but means the very Chashiva ones? The very, very distinguished, important ones. But Nevi'i means prophets, right? So what does that mean? We, in fact, the Chazal tell us that Chacham Adif Minavi, that Talmud Chacham is better than a Navi, because they can interpret Torah, they can get to the depths of Torah, and through that, they understand the Ratzon Hashem. A Navi has to have a special revelation. Hashem says, this is what you have to do, but a Talmud Chacham can expound Torah, so they are like the prophets, that when there were no prophets, when prophecy was going to end, it's telling us we have to look to our Chachamim, our leaders, they're the ones that are going to guide us. There is also another pshat, Al tigu b'meshichai m'nevi'ai al tareyu, that Al tigu b'meshichai, that this is the imahos, this is Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, V'leya, u'nevi'ai al tareyu, and don't do bad to my prophets, that is Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. So what does that mean? That's very interesting. Al tigu b'meshichai, don't touch my anointed ones. That's talking about the imahos. V'nevi'ai al tareyu, my prophets don't do bad. Okay, I understand the V'nevi'ai al tareyu, that my prophets don't do bad. That's talking about Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. Why? Because they were prophets. They were the ones that were the founders of our faith. They brought Hashem's word to the whole world. So they were the V'nevi'ai al tareyu. Okay, maybe. But and this is what Hashem told the nations earlier, meaning told Paro, told Avimelech, told Lavan, told Esau, right? Don't mess with them. But what does it mean, Al tigu b'meshichai? Right? So some say that the Medrash really is just referring to Sarah and Rivka that were potentially going to be taken by non-Jewish kings, where they were, where they were gunned by Paro and Avimelech. So why are they referred to as Meshichai, as my anointed ones, or Mashiach? What does that mean? So Zok to Sefer HaChashalti, what a beautiful Torah. He says, we know what Chazal tell us. Chazal tell us, you know why the Geula is going to happen? The Geula is going to happen because of the Nashim Tzidkaniyos. The Geula is going to happen because of the righteous Jewish women. And Al Tigu B'Meshichai, he says, don't touch my Mashiach. It means don't touch my Mashiach, Mamash, my Redeemer. That means don't touch the Jewish women, because they're the ones that are going to bring Mashiach. It's the Noshim Tzidkaniyos in the generation at the end of days. It's going to be in their zechus, because of their commitment to Torah, because of their ability to withstand the difficulties of Ikhsad the Mashiach, Dafka the Nashim Tzidkanios. And he says in the Sefer HaChashalti, that's why one Medrash says that Al Tigu B'Mashiach means don't touch Sarah and Rivka, don't touch the Imahos, don't touch the holy Jewish women. And that's such a, again, a beautiful pshat. But so I hope that this week, when we say Hodu, I apologize, this is a shtick along. When we say Hodu this week, I hope we can really try and remember what we're saying. We're saying the song of David HaMelech, the song when they brought the Aron up to Yerushalayim for the first time. Whoa, unbelievable. And as Yeshayo tells, this is going to be the song of Mashiach, Hodu Lashem Kir Vishmo, Hodu Vamim El Yosav Shirulo, Zamru Lo Sichu B'chon Nefilosim. And as Zohar says, this is the song of all songs. And this is the first part that they said in the morning was the song of the past, the song of thanks for everything that happened, with allusions, of course, to how we should be living in the present. Bez Shem, next week, we'll talk about the song of the future, the song of the carbon in the afternoon, because of Emunascha Balelos at night. We speak about Emuna, we speak about faith, we speak about the hope in the future. Okay, have a great week, everyone. Be safe, and daven well.